believe this is a special month for us. Last week Sunday, for those who weren't here, we embarked on a 40 days of sanctification. So the idea is to cut out the crumbs of this world, the worldly entertainment, worldly things that are keeping us from connecting with God, and then to consume the Word of God daily. And I must have already heard lots of good reports, and so I just want to encourage you, go for it. Doesn't matter how much you've stumbled this week. I know there's somebody trying to cut out on his coffee intake. He has failed miserably, but he's still trying. So get up and go for it again. Not that coffee is a major issue, but he felt that there's something he wants to lay down. And so, as we're just going to have communion now, I want us to consecrate this month of November, to say, Lord, thank you for everything you've done. I commit this month into your hands. I commit my life into your hands. And I pray that you'd help me to live by the Word of God. And so the bread symbolizes the body of Christ. And the bread often symbolizes as well the Word of God. So I just want to pray for us, for the Word, and that the Word will get an impact in our hearts in this month. Father, we thank you that you loved the world so much that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your body was broken so that we could partake of all your fullness. And so, Lord, thank you for this bread, Lord God. We receive it to our bodies. We receive it to our lives. We receive it as a church. We exalt the Word of God as preeminent in our lives. Your Word will stand. And so, Lord, we receive it this evening in Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Father, we thank you for your precious blood, the blood of Christ. God, we proclaim the blood of the Lamb over our lives, Lord God. And we pray, Lord, as it rains outside, God, that your life, your love, your goodness will rain upon our hearts, Lord God. May your precious blood cleanse us of all evil, all sins. May we be completely made new. Thank you, God, that we can come by the blood. And so this evening, God, we come to Jesus Christ by the blood of the Lamb. And we just embrace, Lord God, just a spiritual soaking to our hearts, a spiritual soaking to our minds, a spiritual soaking to our lives, Lord God, even as your Spirit would rain down upon us. Thank you, Lord, for living waters. Living waters, Lord. Abundance upon abundance of your blessing. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. Just take a moment and just thank the Lord for his blood and for his rain and for his blessing. Let's drink together. Thank you, God, that we this evening we can proclaim the blood of Christ over our hearts, over our minds, and over our lives. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. Sure. It's raining. Okay. This evening we're ending off with Let the Mighty Arise. And on the next slide, It's the fourth part, and this evening is about overcoming the rough ways of offense. The rough ways of offense. Don't know about you, but I've experienced this a few times in my life. I'm in my car, elbow out the window, my shades on, music is playing, straight road, it's just wonderful, I'm going for it. And then out of nowhere, a speed bump jumps into the road. Out of nowhere. And so I hit the speed bump at full force. My head hits the ceiling. The car almost breaks down. I lose control almost over the vehicle and hit somebody on the sidewalk. And I'm thinking, whoa, where did that come from? Where did that come from? I wasn't expecting this, but the speed bump jumped out in the middle of the road. And I've learned, this so often happens when you're walking with God, and everything looks good. I mean, this nice straight road, you're growing in God, everything's looking good, you're serving the Lord, you're reading your Bible, you're praying every day, and then somehow a speed bump jumps out from the side of the road, and you hit it. You know what that is? That's an offense. A speed bump is an offense. Another word for offense is stumbling block. And I've experienced it. I mean, it wasn't the devil. It was somebody I knew said something, did something, or didn't do something. And I'm like, what? I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you said that. And you know what happens? You hit your head. And suddenly you can't connect with God anymore. You're distracted. And, well, you're offended. And that's the power of the offense. And you're deeply hurt. You're angry. You're distracted. You're upset. You're confused. You're offended. It's not a nice place to be. But you're offended. And that's what I want to speak to you about tonight. The offense. The stumbling block. The speed bumps of life. If there's one thing that I've seen that has broken down relationships between people, it is offense. It is one of the primary vehicles of the enemy to get us away from God and onto the crooked roads, the crooked places. Okay, so we've been talking about let the mighty arise. And in Luke 3, verse 2, it says, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John. The word of God came to John. He's speaking about the word of God. There's such power in the word. Every time the word of God comes, a mighty person arises. Not because they are mighty, but because of the effect of the word. You see, the defining factor, for a mighty man or a mighty woman to arise is if they're able to handle the paths, the rough ways of offense. Even as Tinus shared this evening, he was a believer, he was a Christian, he was in one of our churches in Pretoria, and then he got offended. The pastor offended him, another brother or sister in Christ offended him, and what happened? He ran away from church and from God. And so this is such a serious message, or important message I want to share with you. I have so many times seen this. Somebody's walking with God, they're growing, and then suddenly they're nowhere to be seen. They're offended. They don't come to church anymore. They don't go to small group anymore. They're offended. And then your heart breaks, and there's nothing you can do, especially if you are the source of the offense. There's been a breakdown in relationship. And so, for the truly mighty to arise, For you and me to become a leader in the kingdom of God, we have to overcome the rough ways. If you look at Joseph, I'm going to speak about Joseph a little bit later, but also King David. Both of them received a word from God when they were young, 17, 16. Joseph got a dream and said, you're going to reign one day. Your family, your brothers will bow down to you. King David, the prophet came and anointed him and said, you will be king one day. And so both of them were very excited about this wonderful proposition of the word. Yes, I'm going to be king. I'm going to do. I'm going to reign. I'm going to be a leader. And then they had to take a detour to qualify for leadership. This is the most. This is the biggest qualifying factor I have found. If you want to qualify, the defining factor to qualify for leadership in the kingdom of God. Most people are not willing to walk the rough ways. They take different routes, and so they miss out. So Luke 3, verse 4 to 6, the outline for the four evenings that I've shared about, it says, every valley shall be filled. And so we spoke about the valley of failure. Then we went to the mountains, and the hills shall be brought low. Then the crooked places shall be made straight, and then the rough ways smooth. This evening we speak about the rough ways becoming smooth. And God has really been doing something in my heart, and I've heard some wonderful report backs from many of you, and I'm really excited about what God is doing. Okay, but let's talk about this. The rough ways of offense. How does this work? It's like your response would be, I can't believe she said that about me behind my back. I just can't believe it. And relationship breaks down. I can't believe he ignored me like that. I smiled and he just turned his back and walked away. I can't believe it. Do you know what my boss did yesterday? This is terrible. I'm not going back there. I'm looking out for another job. I'm not going to take this nonsense. She promised that she's going to be there for me. She wasn't. That hurt. That really, really wounds. And what I've found is that when it comes to Christianity, we all like to be like this next picture. Corin, if you can put up the picture, the yellow car, vroom, vroom. Yes, we're on some of the service. I mean, let's you machine, you going for God. Okay, but there's this little snag. The terrain is off-road. How's it going to work? I mean, it's rough to be a Christian. It's rough out there. You get that car with that chassis, with that suspension system, you're going to be in big trouble. You need the following one. Come on, man. Now that's a better one. Because see, the terrain is rough. You see, but when we start off in our Christian walk, we think, I'm a Christian now. Everything's going to be wonderful. And now I am in this wonderful church. They're all such smiley, happy, friendly people. They're never going to offend me. Oh, they're never going to. It's not like that. I don't need a four-wheel drive suspension system. I just need my Lamborghini. I'm just going to go straight, vroom. And then you hit your first speed wobble and you're out for the count. Because you didn't expect this to happen. I mean, Christians are nice people, aren't they? Are they human? Unfortunately, yes. They are human. And then Jesus gave us this wonderful promise. He said in Luke 17:1, he said to his disciples, next one. He said to his disciples, offenses will certainly come. Certainly come. Say certainly come. Certainly come. Certainly come. They will come. Speed wobbles, speed bumps, they will jump out in front of you as you pursue the Christian walk. Guaranteed. So my message is basically saying, watch out, there's a speed bump coming. That's my message tonight. Watch out, there is a speed bump coming, but woe to the one they come through. And this is very interesting. Then Jesus said, but woe to the one that causes the speed bump. Because do you know what the speed bump will do? It will cause somebody, a young Christian especially, to turn away from Jesus and maybe be lost eternally. That is unfortunately what happens. That's why Jesus said, woe to you. So the speed bumps of life are the offenses. They are stumbling blocks. They are snares. It's like a trap. So there will be speed bumps on the road of life. People will offend you. You can say that now. People will offend me. They will. They will. They will. Especially if you want to be a leader in the kingdom of God. Especially if you want to do something for God. If you want to sit alone at home, well, maybe you're not going to get offended. But if you want to do something for God, there's going to be some action. Yay. the effect of the offense. What does an offense do to us? Last week I said temptation seduces us off the straight and narrow into the crooked ways. What does an offense do? An offense is a snare or a trap to deceive us onto the crooked paths. It's there to deceive you. How does it deceive you? It wounds you. It hurts you. It hurts your heart just enough that you say, I don't like this road. Let's try another one. Well, you're off. You're off track. You're off the road that God has set for you. You're going now a different route. Does God lead us by offenses? Does he try to hurt you so much so you will turn direction? I don't think so. Maybe if you're off the right road already, if you're on the crooked paths, yes, maybe you will get hurt just through life and you must click, maybe I should get back to the straight road. But if you're on the straight road, God will never try to offend you so you can change direction. That's very important to understand. Okay, so say, I'm not going to make my devil voice this evening. Oh, but say you little Christian is driving on his straight little road, okay? And so here comes the devil, okay? And he wants to get you off the straight road. What does he do? He puts stumbling blocks in your way, stumbling blocks, and you're like, oh. This road isn't so lucky anymore. It's not so nice anymore. There's so many stumbling blocks. Have you driven in East London? Yeah. There are so many speed bumps all over the show. And then you say, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm going to take another road. Okay, but that is dangerous if it's not the road that God has chosen you to take. And so that would often happen. God would give you a road, say at a place, at a church, within a group of friends. And then the stumbling blocks will come, one by the other. Enough motivation for you to change your direction. But it will come at a price. It will come at a price. It will cost you. The offense breaks down relationship. And so what happens, this a complete shutdown happens in the lives of people, the lives of believers. Complete shutdown. Was going, and then complete shutdown. They're out. They're gone. Offended with God. Offended with believers, Christians. They're just out. Okay, so the effect of the offense is to get you onto the crooked paths. Now remember that. That's the purpose of the offense, which comes from the enemy. For instance, this one conference, Brian Houston from Hillsongs Australia, he preached and his shirt was hanging out. And he preached on staying connected and basically don't be offended. And then later in the conference, somebody said no. Somebody walked out of his session, phoned the church office and said, I can't believe he wore that shirt. I'm not coming back to this place. Or people coming to pass and saying, I can't believe the ugly flowers you have in the front of the church. I'm not coming back to this place. That sounds silly. I tell you, we get upset about less important stuff than that because we have these vulnerabilities. Okay, so what is the target of the offense? What is it gunning for? What is it aiming for? It targets the heart. It targets your heart. That's the aim. It targets the heart and it tries to sever relationships. It wants to sever relationships. The moment your heart gets wounded, you break down relationship. What's the result? You're dead. You're vulnerable. The enemy can take you out. So the heart, wounding the heart. And so suddenly, you don't trust anymore. The pastor did something you didn't expect him to do or to say. He didn't greet you maybe at the door. Didn't smile that really happy smile when he was greeted you as he normally does. And so you're offended. Oh, it must be something about myself. Must be something. Oh, he's angry with me. That happens so often. People think I can see all their sins. It's true. It's true. So be afraid. But the result is that there's a lack of trust. So now you're offended with the pastor. Now what happens is pastor comes and shares his heart out. But you can't receive anything anymore. It's just my heart. I'm not being fed anymore as I used to. It's just not working anymore as it used to. Why? Because you're offended. Not necessarily even with a person, maybe just with God, maybe just with people in general. Maybe it's something, but somewhere in your heart, there's a shutdown happening. And then the result is severs relationship. So you'll move further away and further away and further away until you are alone. It is a diabolical scheme of the enemy to get you and me into big trouble. And I've been through a few. So what happens if you don't expect a speed bump and you're driving at a good 100, 120? Eesh. You're going to injure yourself. You missed all the signs saying, watch out, here's a speed bump coming. And you hit it and then you're just shocked. You just wounded you. But if you knew that there's a speed bump coming, if you knew that at some point somebody's going to offend me, you'll be ready. You'll be prepared and you'll be able to handle that. I'm gonna share a few things to help you handle it. So tonight, watch out, guys. There's a speed bump coming, okay? But what is an offense? Okay, let me explain what is an offense. It's brilliant. It comes from John Bevere's book, The Bait of Satan. And that's basically this trap thing is. Say your expectation of somebody is over here. Your expectation of a believer is over there. Just a general believer in church. You expect them to act in a certain way. But unfortunately, they only perform over there. What is the result? The gap is your offense. The difference is your offense. The closer you are to somebody, the higher your expectation. The higher your expectation. So your spouse, your expectation from your spouse is very high. The expectation from your pastor, woohoo, over there. So there's lots of opportunity to be offended. There's lots of space, lots of gap over here for you to be disappointed. I mean, that's basically one of the offenses. You're disappointed. You expected more. And when it's not produced, you run because your heart has been wounded. And unfortunately, this has happened to me a few times. I saw this video. It was a lady, a guy, two people in a Lamborghini, a nice yellow one. And they drove in the city and they came to a stop in front of a minute speed bump. I mean, it's like that high. It's like really. And then they had to stop and the woman, lady got out and she came to look. And she went back to her Lamborghini and she looked in and she took out these huge parcels that she was shopping with. She took it out, and then the car lifted just enough. And then she walked over the speed bump, and her husband drove over, and then she got back into her Lamborghini. And when I saw this, I realized, but that's so true to the topic this evening. You see, there are two things that influences your ability to handle the speed bumps. Influencer number one, how's your suspension system? High or low? Okay, that's number one. Number two, how's the baggage you're carrying with you? How's your baggage, your luggage? How many stuff are you bringing with you? Because that's going to push your car down. So a speed bump, you're going to feel it. Every little bump, you're going to feel everything. You're just going to be so sensitive. Everything's going to offend you. Anybody does anything, you go, you know, you're going to assume it's because I am too thin, too fat, too short, too old, too young, too this. You immediately make it personal and it breaks down relationship. Okay, so what is the suspension system? I believe it's your character. Your character. Low suspension system means you're very self-focused. Me, myself, my comfort, my way. You know, it's just all me, me, me. Low suspension. High suspension system. It's not really about me. I just want to give. I just want to bless. I remember the one time, I've shared this before, but, you know, a friend of mine, he was in the ministry for a year, and they asked him, so, how was it? And he said, no, it was wonderful, unbelievable highs and unbelievable lows. And that's how life is so often. The highs are wonderful, but when the lows hit you, it can break you if you don't realize how to handle the offense. Okay, so the baggage is all the weights you're carrying with you. It's your, I'm insecure, I'm this, I'm that, so I'm offended. Okay. And what I've realized is it's not about the speed bumps. I shared this the first week. I said it's not inside, it's on top. Remember that? Cremora. No, it's actually inside, not on top. It's what's going on the inside of you. The challenges of life, the offenses of life is not the issue. The issue is what's going on the inside. Do you have the capability to handle this? Do you have the capability to handle this? How's your suspension? How much baggage are you carrying with you? It's not the size of the speed bump. It is the size of your suspension system. Okay, everybody's going to go buy 4x4s after this evening. Okay, but I want us to have a perception change. Number one, offenses will come, as I've said, it will come. Number two, because people will never achieve our expectations, so offenses will come. And number two, it is simply training for reigning. It is simply training for reigning. Go read the book, Joseph in Genesis. Go read about David. It is training for reigning. If you don't go through it, you will not qualify for what God has called you to. And I can surely testify of my own life that I wouldn't be able to stand here in front of you today if I didn't go through it. If I didn't go through it. There was a time in my life where I was in a ministry for, say, 5+ years, I can't remember, and something happened, things were said, and it offended me into the ground. Into the ground. And you see, because if you're in the ministry, you're not doing it for the money, you're laying down your life. You know, so you're working 7 days a week, you're giving your everything. And then if the wrong feedback comes back, like not good enough, not anointed enough, not this, not that, not this, whatever, then your wheels come off because you so desire somebody to say you're okay. See, that's baggage. Baggage and bad suspension system. But what happened to me was I got offended, and in the process, I remember one day I was driving down the road to one of our offices, and I felt God speaking to my heart and saying, I must resign. Resign? It's time for you to go work as an engineer. You have the degree, so now go and work as an engineer. And I remember speaking to a friend of mine about this, saying, I feel God is saying I must leave the ministry. And then about a week later, I was praying with a friend, and then God spoke to me and said, that wasn't me speaking to you. You're offended. You're offended. Do you know what offense does? It leads to deception. You start hearing things that you should not be hearing. You hear, I must resign. You hear, this is not where I should be, because it's not fun. It's rough. It's rough. You see, but if you run away from every rough season, every rough terrain for the rest of your life, you'll never qualify for what God has called you to do. And so you need to press in and press through. So I humbled myself. I apologized. I repented. I went down. I just said, okay, I'm in. I'm going to serve God wherever, whenever. If I'm the sweeper, I'm going to do it with all my might. I don't care, but I just want to be a part of what God is doing, because it's not about me. And so I humbled myself, and as I did that, and I just said, I'm going to serve God where He places me with all my heart. Things turned around. Within months, things turned around. Suddenly there was favor, there was blessing, there was things happening, there was growth in my heart. But I had to make the decision. Am I going to be offended and veer off course and miss my calling? Or am I going to humble myself and stick it through, because this is where God placed me last time? This is the last word I received. Here am I to be planted, to be placed. I'm going to press through. Do you know why the kingdom of God is such a mess? Because 80%+ of all Christians are offended on one level or another. And then they leave one church and they go to another church and they break down this relationship and they go to that relationship. They break off with their spouse and they go, get a better spouse. Because they're offended, they're offended, they're offended, they're offended. Their hearts got wounded. And so they went off course and again off course. Why are there so many churches in the world? Because there was one happy little church, and then one guy thought, I don't agree with you. You offend me. I think I can do better. Cheers. Let's start a new church. Split. Offense. offense. Offense is a terrible thing. John Bevere says in all these conferences where he preaches about offense, he usually gets a response of something like 80%+ of all everybody there that gets up and admits, I'm offended. On one level or another. I'm offended. Those times of offense that I went through were the best things that could ever happen to me. I not only humbled myself, I laid down my vision, my dream, my destiny in the hands of Almighty God and said, God, I trust in you, not in man, because men are fallible. Man doesn't see clearly. Man cannot see the calling upon my life. Man cannot see the calling upon your life, but you can trust in God and say, God, I'm going to serve with all my heart where you've placed me, but I trust you to do, to open doors, to lead, to take me where I need to go. Not many Christians are willing to do that. Because you see, it hurts. It hurts. Yea, hail. Yea, hail. Yea is verneder. Yea, gaan deur stuff. You go through shame. You go through guilt. You go through so many things when people offend you. But you say, I'm going to stick it through. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to run away. It's the only way that you can be trained for reigning. So don't let it move you. Don't let the offense, your disappointment in people move you. Never let that move you. Let only God move you. Don't let that move you. Let God move you. If you stay, so there's two things you need to do if you want to deal with the offense. You need to stay where God has placed you. You need to stay where God has placed you. And you need to fight for the health of your heart and for the health of your relationships. If somebody offends you, you need to go to them and say, let's talk about this. Let's sort it out because I don't want this breakdown in relationship. Look at this scripture, 1 Peter 2. It says, therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. To highlight just something there. A stone of stumbling. Jesus became a stone of stumbling. To who? To the disobedient. The moment you move out of the will of God, the moment you go disobedient, you are in trouble. If you allow the offense to move you, then you are in trouble. Okay, so question. My point that I want to make is, you will stumble if you disobey. Guaranteed stumble. You will stumble if you disobey. Obey the will of God. You will stand if you obey. You will stand if you obey. But you will stumble if you disobey. Okay, so the question is, will you stand? Will you stand when the storms come? Because they will come. Look at the scripture, Matthew 7. It speaks of the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. The scripture that Jesus speaks of, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. You will stand. If you receive the will of God, if you receive the word of God and you stay there, you're going to build your house on a rock. But built his house on a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. It did not fall, because it was found on the rock. Relationships will be tested. Marriages will be tested. Storms and stuff will come. But are you found upon the rock? But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I'm fighting for hearts here tonight. This is one of the most important messages you could ever hear if you want to stick it through to becoming a leader in the kingdom of God. But if we disobey, if we do not obey what God has told us to do, there is trouble. So on the one hand, I spoke about character, your suspension system. How do you build character? Application leads to transformation. Application leads to transformation. It's not how much you know. It's not how much you think through things in your mind. It is irrelevant. How many books you've read in life? Irrelevant. The question is, how much are you applying? How much are you applying? How much are you applying? Application leads to transformation. In other words, when you receive the word and you respond to it, change happens on the inside. Your suspension system, it sort of lifts a bit. So the stumbling blocks can come. You're going to go straight over. No problems. This is something that's happened in my life. I received a love for people who do not know God. And I remember the one time Sonic and I, we were in Cape Town, and we, Sunday afternoon, and she was playing on the piano. We were just worshiping. And I was offended. I was hurt. There's stuff happening in people's lives. And so I was sitting there. I was crying. I was saying, God, I don't want to go on. This is just, this isn't nice. And I heard the voice of God speaking to me, get up. There's no time for this. There are lives at stake. You get up and you go. And that evening at church, I think about 10 people committed their lives to God. But it increases your suspension system when you align your heart with God's heart. Because you say, fine, whatever, but me, don't care. I'm here to do something for God. I'm here to make a difference for God. I don't have time to sit in the corner and cry about me, my little self. You can't. Although you do sometimes hurt. I'm not saying you don't hurt. But if you get your suspension system, your focus right, if application brings transformation, you'll see as you start to obey God, you change. You change. You change. And that's why we're trying to change something in this church. Less information in a certain sense and more focus on application. That's what we're trying to do. Trying to change the way we teach. Instead of 20 points, we try to actually just make 1 point per evening. Maybe two. We still talk a lot, but if you remember the 1 point, then we are winners. Okay. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 4. It says, if the ruler's anger rises against you, don't leave your place. Don't leave your place. For calmness puts great offenses to rest. Don't allow the offense to change the way you respond to somebody. Don't let it change you. Don't let it affect you. Just continue on. Be focused. You have to remind yourself. And then the baggage part. As you obey God, this wonderful thing happens. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Amen. You can see this is really exciting stuff. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. I have experienced this. I'm going through something. I'm actually obeying God. And so God leads me through a process. Sometimes I miss the Lord in the process, but I feel I'm a little bit set up, to be quite honest. But then I go through this thing, and then everything that can be shaken is shaken. You see, if you're building a house, and then the storms come, the part that is on the rock, they stand. Those who don't have the right foundation will be shaken and they will fall off. That's glorious. Not nice, but it's glorious. It is glorious as you obey. You will see, as even as we do this 40 days of sanctification, 40 days of laying something down that God has laid on your heart, as you lay it down, as you obey, as you apply, you will find change happening in your life. So get rid of the baggage. Get rid of the insecurities. How? Apply the word. Focus following God. And then just to end off with, what about serious offenses? Serious offenses. See, 90%, I believe, of all offenses is just because your chassis is a bit low and you've got a little bit of baggage. It's not, they didn't really do something bad to you. It's just your perception magnifies the size of the offense. But I believe there's 10% that is real. I mean, it was completely uncalled for. It was almost evil. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? Now, let's just very shortly, I'm going to give you a super short summary of Joseph's life. In Genesis 37, you can read the story for yourself. What happened to Joseph? 17-year-old, got the dream of God, and he shared it. He said, brothers, you're all going to serve me. And for some reason, they weren't excited about that. And in the process, they became jealous, they became angry. And imagine this, your own brothers trying to kill you and then deciding we're going to sell you into slavery. Is that bad? That is plain horrible. Imagine that, 17-year-old, and your brothers sell you. I can see the brothers looking at one another now. I mean, that is shocking. And then you have Joseph going through the four messages that I shared these past 4 weeks. He goes through them. He goes through the valley of failure. He shared his dream, but they rejected him and they sold him into slavery. So he went through the valley of failure. Then he went through the mountains of the opinions of man. Everybody, he's just a slave. Now he's in Egypt. He's just a slave. He's a nobody. He has no future. He has no inheritance. He's been sold. He will always be a slave of Egypt. And yet somehow he overcame that. And he served with all his heart as a slave in another man's house. And then God exalted him again. And then he went through the crooked places of sin. And what was that? Potiphar's wife coming to him every day and saying, lay with me. Lay with me. She wanted him to lie with her. And then every day he'd say, no, no, no. Temptation, no, no, no. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. In the end, he got into trouble because she said that he did sleep with her. And he was thrown into prison. How's that for a wonderful blessing for obedience? Okay, Lord, I'm in prison now. Been faithfully following you. You've given me this dream. My brothers hated me, tried to kill me. I faithfully served you in the rest, next house. And then this woman came to me and I said, no, because I wanted to honor you, God. I want to honor you. And look what's happening. God, what's happening? What am I doing here? Would you be offended with God? Would you be offended with God at that time? I would certainly have been offended, saying, God, where are you? I've served you faithfully my whole life, and all I get is this after this after this. This is terrible. And yet somehow in the prison, it's like this dream he had at the beginning of his life when he was 17, it drew him on. This dream, this word he received from God gave him perspective again, and it sustained him. And so he got up again in the prison, and he served again, and he got favor upon his life. But imagine that, going through those rough ways, sitting there in prison. I mean, there's lots of time to think about everything, but you can be offended about. Angry at brothers, family, the other woman and her husband and everybody. And do you know what we do then? Do you know what we do then? We commit spiritual suicide. It's like you driving in your car, there's a car accident, you yourself, you're in the car accident, you're lying there next to the road, and then the medic comes storming there and saying, oh, can I help, can I help, can I help? He's saying, no, you, it's your fault, you did this to me. Would that be silly? That would be stupid. But we do that with God. We blame God when we're going through a difficult thing. We say, God, it's you, you did it, the one that would heal you. The one that would restore you. The one that would make your heart whole again. He's saying it's you. And so you commit spiritual suicide. You cut yourself off from the only one that can truly help you. You need to realize this. You need to realize don't cut yourself off from the only one that can truly help you. And so with Joseph, God turned it all around. God turned, because he didn't swerve off. He didn't go. He wasn't bitter and angry and offended and then turned direction. He kept faithfully serving God, where God put him. So how did God turn this around? I'm ending off, this is the last scripture. Now after this, his brothers came. He was actually, Joseph was exalted to the second position in the kingdom of Egypt. And then his brothers came to ask for grain because there was a famine all over the world. Now imagine if you were bitter and angry with your brothers. You would have, I would have killed them. Said, cheers. You did this to me, I'm going to get you back. And I look what Joseph says. Genesis 45, verse 7 to 8. And Joseph speaking, he says, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now you'd say, what? Joseph, are you crazy? I mean, that's what the brothers say. No, we did it. We despised you. We were jealous of you. We wanted to kill you right there. And Joseph's saying, no, this was God. He had a plan. He had a plan. And I believe I need to say it to some of you here. If you just hold on and press through, faithfully serving God, he's going to exalt you. He's going to give you favor. I truly believe it. I've experienced this time and time again in my life. Just hold on to the word of God. Hold on to the will of God and serve him faithfully. And don't put your life into the hands of men. You say, God, I'm not just serving my boss here. I am serving the Lord God Almighty. And you will give me favor. You will give me the right salary. You will give me favor where I need it. Because that's what God does. If you would throw yourself upon him. So, the point I'm trying to make. If we disobey, we will stumble. If we obey, we will stand. If we obey, we will stand. If we obey, we will stand. This is so, so important. I'm going to disappoint you sometimes if you're a member of this church. What are you going to do about it? You're going to leave the church? Your spouse is going to disappoint you sometimes. Are you going to leave her or him? Your friends are going to disappoint you sometimes. Are you going to cut them off? Because the offense will break down relationship and in the end it will cause your own spiritual death. But you need to decide, I want an Audi Q7. I want a chassis like that. I want a suspension system like that. When those things come, the rocks and the speed bumps, I'm going straight over. I'm not even going to feel it because I'm ready for the offense. And I fight for the health of my heart. And I fight for my relationships. And I'm not going to allow this to deceive me to veer off into the crooked places. I'm going to keep on focused on God. The offense, the stumbling block, the snare, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. I'm really trusting that this evening that something would be healed in our hearts. What is the primary way of dealing with an offense? What is the number one way of dealing with an offense? Forgive. Forgive them. So Lord, I forgive that boy at school who said this to me. I forgive that girl who dropped me there. Lord, I forgive this. I forgive that. I forgive what I said. I forgive what they did. Because God, I want you to heal my heart. You need to decide this evening, do you want spiritual life or do you want spiritual death? Obedience leads to transformation. Application leads to transformation. And so I'm trusting that the rough ways, the roughness of our hearts, the woundedness of our hearts would be healed as we commit these things to the Lord. And I know I've spoken to lots of you, and some of you have terrible stories of things that has happened in your lives. Stuff people did to you. Are you going to allow that to determine your destiny? Are you going to allow that to determine going off course the whole time and finding yourself in crooked places where it's shameful and depressing? Or are you going to say, God, I'm going to stick it through. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to release. I want to be free. Let's just close our eyes. Holy God, thank you, Lord, this evening is not just a little message. I am pleading. I am pleading with people to lay down their hearts before the living God. Lord God, we bless you. We praise you, Lord. And we pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you will give us the grace to forgive, the grace to release those who have offended us, wounded us, hurt us. Lord God Almighty, Lord God Almighty, may we start living differently. And so we welcome, Lord, your Spirit in this place. And I pray, God, that we will break out of the traps that the enemy has placed upon us and choose to forgive. Lord, I pray right now that you'll show us, God, where there are the wounds of our hearts. Show us, Lord God, right now where we have been offended, where we have been wounded, hurt. As I prayed now, if you realize that there is an area in your life that there is an offense or a wound, and you realize you need to deal with it, it's not been dealt with, just stand up where you are sitting now. And I just want to pray with you, pray for you. Lord, we bless your name. God, we worship you. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for your goodness. And if you feel that there's an area in your heart that needs healing, as I felt earlier this evening, God wants to heal some of our hearts, also just take the opportunity to stand, just to bring your heart before God and say, God, heal my heart. Heal my heart tonight, Lord. You see, it's so often a process of restoration. I just felt there's another group here as well, or a person or persons. You're very intellectual, but your application doesn't really happen. You don't live the word. You don't obey the word. You are intentional maybe, but you don't live it. If that is you, also just take the opportunity to stand just before the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Father, we pray for those, Lord God, that have stood, every person in this place, Lord, that God, that you'll do a miracle in our hearts. Lord, that we'll no longer fall for the traps of the enemy, Lord God. They'll no longer fall for the schemes of the enemy. But God Almighty, that the mighty would arise, Lord, even as we arose right now and stood to our feet, Lord, I pray that we would be equipped, Lord God, to handle the speed bumps of life. The speed bumps of life, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Just repeat after me. Just say aloud, Father God, I bring my heart before you. I commit my heart into your hands. And I pray, Lord, that you'll wash my heart, that you'd cleanse my life of every offense, of every bitterness, of every disappointment that is still defining me today. Holy God, I declare that I believe in you. And I thank you, Lord, for the grace, for change on the inside right now. In Jesus' name. Just take a moment just where you're standing. Just speak to the Lord. Just if you have to forgive, just release the person. Just do it. Just speak it by faith. Even if it doesn't feel like it, just say, Lord, I release them. I release her. I release what was said. I forgive. Thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ, you are welcome in this place today. Jesus Christ, you are welcome in our hearts today. I feel that there are some people here that you have lots of baggage, and that is defining your relationships and also breaking down lots of relationships. If you feel that's relevant for you, also just take the moment, the opportunity to stand. You see, we want application. That's why I'm sharing these things, because I want you to see, that's me. I need to change something. That's me. I need to do something. Lord, we bless your name for that. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Okay, let's all of us, if everybody can stand. I just want us to end off. We're going to all ask now for Audi Q7. Suspension system. Spiritual suspension system. The series is about let the mighty arise. So, I just want to pray for this month. I just want to pray for this time of us seeking the face of God. I want to encourage you to go work through these messages that I've shared with you. I'm only touching on some of the things. But God wants us to be whole. He wants an army to arise to make a difference for Him in this world. It's an army that is whole. It's an army that can love even in the face of persecution, even in the face of injustice being done to us. We can arise and we can love back. I believe God wants to do that. He wants to set us free. So let's close our eyes. We want to pray this blessing and prayer over all of us. Father, we thank you for these 4 weeks. And Lord, we declare it this evening. We say, let the mighty arise. We just speak it into the spirit, Lord God. We just speak it into our hearts and minds, Lord God. Let the mighty arise. Let lives be changed, Lord God. Lord, we worship you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, even as you hung on the cross, you were despised, you were beaten, you were struck, you were spat at, you were cursed. You took the worst that anybody could ever take. And yet you turned back and you said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, Lord. For they do not know what they do. And God, I pray we'll take up that place to do the same to the glory of your holy name. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Let's just sing the song to end of it. just want us to pray a last prayer. For those who want to, I want to encourage you to ask God this evening and say, Lord, I want to be a mighty man or a mighty woman for you. I want to make an impact on this world. I don't want to be swayed by circumstances. I don't want to be influenced by what people tell me. I don't want to fall apart because I fail sometimes. I want to live the life for you, focused on what you've called me to do, without looking to the left, without looking to the right. I want to live and make an impact for you. If you want to pray that prayer with me, I just want you to raise your hands, both hands. Just raise both hands to the Lord. You see, it's God that takes us on this path. It is God that trains us. And it's not always easy, but it's He that does it. It's He that changes us. All we need to say, God, I want that, Lord. I know it's going to be hard, but I want that, Lord. To just pray and say, Father God, I believe that you have called me to make an impact in this life for the glory of your name. And so, God, this day, I surrender my past and my future and my heart and my life into your hands. Lord, I pray, lead me, because I want to follow. Lord, change me, because I want to. Lord, show me the way, because I'm desperate to have your way. Holy God, this day, I give you free rein to teach me, to train me, and to empower me to live life differently. Differently from the world. Differently from even other Christians. Lord God, raise the standard in me. I pray this in Jesus' name. And I declare, let the will of God be done in my life and around me. In Jesus' name. Amen. And just to seal that, I just want us to put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ, to thank Him for what He will do. For He will sustain us. He will teach us. He will train us. Lord, we bless Your name. Jesus, we honor You. Let's put our hands together. Let's honor the Lord. We honor the King of Kings. We honor the Lord of Lords. It is You that we serve, Lord God. We serve not man. We serve the living God. Have Your way in our lives. Have Your way in this church, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
During the worship earlier, I had a picture of a wall with a gate in it. And it feels that it's for somebody here. You've walked a path with the Lord. You've got to a point. And it feels as though there's this obstacle in the way. But the Lord is saying to you, my child, it's a gate. Just push against it. It'll open it. So it's just to mark the beginning of a new phase in your life.
Amen. I just feel in my heart that this is a new season for lots of us. You must just receive it by faith and say, Lord, this next 30 plus days that we live this time of sanctification, shutting down TV or this or that, whatever's distracting us, and getting into the Word, getting on our knees, saying, God, here I am. Make me, form me, and take me. Amen.